This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
On their way up, or down to, should I say, down to Miami to take on the Dolphins in their first preseason action. That's going to happen Friday. But, Mike, they're going to get a lot of work in. We're going to talk to Connor Riley here about the Dogs in just a second. But they're going to get a lot of work in here over the next few days. I think this is the most crucial work of training camp. Right. I do.
We've talked about, some of the walkthroughs and how, practice has evolved from where it was when, we were, younger and you'd see real two-a-days and a lot more contact much earlier in practice. But now is where the work really gets going. And you saw it, the Giants scrapping in their scrimmage up there with the Lions. So, yeah, it's a good test because that's a great offense. You were talking about a young defense, a cornerback room that you and I have been debating. Who's going to be the edge rushers going up against a high-powered Miami offense, a solid, Miami defense going up against our offensive line. So we'll hear about, who's doing what. And then you won't get to see it, most of it, on Friday night, True. Which is frustrating for the fans. More on that coming up.
All right, let's talk some Dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
Connor Riley is here from Dog Nation. Connor, coach's poll is out. Georgia's number one. Kirby told us, last week, he's been saying that they don't look at all this stuff. Should we believe him?
I think in this case, yes, sure, they might be aware of it, but they don't actively seek it out. They understand that it is far more important to be the number one team at the end of the season than it is to be so at the beginning of the year. Last year, they opened up as the number one team in the preseason poll. They didn't end the year as the number one team. They say they're not motivated by how last year went. I largely maybe agree with that, with the notable exception of when they're playing Alabama. And so, this is a team that understands it's not important to be the best team when the season kicks off. It's to be the best team when the final buzzer ends at the last game of the season. They were able to do that in 2021. They were able to do that in 2022. We'll see if they're going to be able to do that again in 2024.
I know the rankings come out. As Carl and I just touched on, I mean nothing. We know that the usual suspects are in that top 10. But, Georgia, and the one thing we come back to is the defense. Georgia's defense. Is it going to be a work in progress, or do you think they hit the ground running against Clemson?
Clemson, I think they might have a lot of success, but I think that's more of a statement of how unsure I am of Clemson's offense. Mm. But I think over the course of the season, this defensive line and how it is going to hold up, look, last year was the first time Georgia didn't have a top five rush defense since 2019. I think that's part of the reason why you saw maybe a little bit of slippage there, especially late in the season against Alabama when they needed to get a stop in the fourth quarter and they couldn't do so. And so, with the schedule that they face, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Kalen DeBoer, Steve Sarkisian, and Lane Kiffin are all very well-regarded offensive coaches. Georgia defense is going to have to be at their best in those games. Now, do they come out and make a statement against Clemson? I wouldn't be surprised if they do so, but I think that might be more of an issue of where Clemson is with its offense right now, more so than what it will say about the Georgia defense.
So I just saw where you said you think the most important game on the schedule is Alabama. Why?
Look, Kirby Smart was 1-5 against Alabama when Nick Saban was the head coach there. The one win obviously being the national championship game at the end of the 2021 season. They have to, in my mind, separate that they had a Nick Saban problem rather than they specifically had an Alabama problem. Because if you're able to beat Alabama this year in the first year with Kalen DeBoer, which they should, even though this game is being played in Tuscaloosa in prime time and will undoubtedly be a raucous environment, you get to sort of establish yourself as the unquestioned top program in my mind. Now, if you lose that game, you open yourself up to a ton of questions. And you know, Kalen DeBoer coming in and you're giving him that runway to sort of hit the ground running at Alabama, give him some momentum in taking over for Nick Saban, the greatest coach in the modern college football era. It leaves yourself, I think, vulnerable in a lot of important ways. So this is a great opportunity for Kirby Smart. They're going to have as good a team as they're going into an Alabama team that is in a state of transition as much as they can be with the talent that they have. And it's a game that, because of the stakes and because of how Georgia and Alabama have played each other and how those games have gone specifically at the end of last year, I think it's a game Georgia absolutely has to win this season.
You know, the young guys, the new faces, we've seen, you know, Georgia do it with a mixture of guys that kind of next man up. You talked about the defensive line. I saw the article today in Dog Nation. They talked about K.J. Bolden and, you know, basically not being afraid to ask a young guy to, like, do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know, Kirby Smart, they recruit so well. They bring in 5 stars every year. It's not a surprise that they have a promising young player. I think what's different when it comes to K.J. Bolden is how, for lack of a better term, emboldened Kirby has felt to put responsibilities and expectations on the shoulders of K.J. Bolden. He's got a chance to start or at the very least make a big impact because of where Georgia is at from the safety position. And so the fact that he's going out there and putting this on K.J. Bolden, comparing him to Malachi Starks, who was a sensational 5-star freshman himself, it was all sort of adding up to this is clearly a guy that Georgia expects a lot from, and that they're willing to put this on a true freshman, a guy who a year ago was playing for Buford High School, granted a very great Buford High School program, I think speaks to how confident they are in both K.J. himself, but their ability as a program to get young players ready to play in a big game right away. Malachi Starks didn't start his first game as a Bulldog, but he made an incredible interception in the second quarter and essentially announced himself to the sport of college football. I think we're just hoping that K.J. Bolden can do something similar in the opener against Clemson.
Connor, what are you hearing about the quarterbacks? I mean, what's it sound like what they're doing at camp and how do they look?
Yeah, I think Carson Beck is your obvious unquestioned starter, but from that backup position, through 4 practices now, Gunnar Stockton has a sizable lead in that position. Mm. And just getting to see these guys at practice, he is so much more comfortable. He's not making some of the mental mistakes that I think Jaden Rashada and Ryan Puglisi are making. And the fact that he's been in the Georgia strength and conditioning program, I think when you get a look at Jaden Rashada, you're going to know just how skinny he kind of is in comparison to a well-built Gunnar Stockton. This is a huge camp for Gunnar Stockton. We're going to get a chance to hear from offensive coordinator Mike Bobo on Thursday. I'm very interested in what Bobo's going to have to say about Stockton because, look, we know what Carson Beck is. We know what is expected of him. We saw him mostly deliver last season, and he's going to be expected to do so at a greater level this season. But in a more physical SEC with Texas and Oklahoma in the league and a longer season, you need to have a backup that you feel comfortable in and getting him real reps. And so early in the season, when they've got some games they can maybe insert Stockton into, how he performs in fall camp I think is going to be huge in his development because I think we all expect Carson Beck to be a first-round quarterback and for this to be his last year at Georgia. If Stockton goes out and performs well in fall camp and earns these coaches' trust, that opens up, I think, the doorway for him to be a starter at Georgia next year. And you've seen how Stetson Bennett did with that, how Carson Beck did with that. If you're able and good enough to do that, you're able and good enough to at least get your team a chance to win a national championship.
It's our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, Dukes of Bell Live at Hooters here at the Mall of Georgia from Falcons Camp. More on the camp coming up. We were talking earlier in the show, Kirby really singing the praises of the offensive line. I mean, he really is he spinning stuff or he really loves the job he's getting from some of the new faces?
I think that you really like this offensive line now. It is interesting to note, center Jared Wilson's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now. It doesn't sound super serious, but they need Jared Wilson to stay healthy because they don't exactly have great depth behind him at that center position. And the fact that he was expected to be a first-year starter, I think shows you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How many eggs they have in that basket. But between Tate Ratledge, who was an All-American last year, Dylan Fairchild and Michael Morris, who would probably start for just about every other team in the SEC, and the fact that one of those three guys is going to be coming off the bench for this Georgia team, I think speaks to how good the interior of this offensive line is. I think Ernest Green is really underrated, and while, yes, he might not have the Amarius Mims-type physique or the type of body that you like to see from a left tackle, that guy is mean. That guy plays football really, really well and is someone who I think could be the best left tackle in this league. And then you've got a six-year starter in Xavier Truss who's played a ton of football and a former five-star in Monroe Freeland competing at that right tackle position. This team not just has the high-end talent that a lot of offensive lines crave, they also have the depth behind them to sort of weather any sort of injuries that could come up over the course of the season.
He's from California, Ernest?
Yep.
They went into Cali and got this kid?
They went into Cali, beat out, you know, Ohio State, USC to land him, redshirted his first year on campus, and this is a guy who, again, you know, his measurables, they're going to be picked and prodded, but the way he played last year and the way I think he can continue to play, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he's like the next three-and-out offensive tackle first-rounder from Georgia.
Wow. Connor Riley joining us here on Dukes and Bell, talking about the Dogs. So as far as the preparation for Clemson, has that started? Has it been going on? When does that focus shift?
Has not started yet. They're in full camp mode, you know, and what that means is just focusing on themselves, trying to develop depth, give everyone reps, and focus on what they do best in terms of a schematic standpoint. You know, classes at UGA don't start until the middle of next week, so they're going to be able to focus really on football 100%. Now through then, I would say maybe the week before the game, like that Wednesday, I'm doing the math off the top of my head here, I want to say like August 22nd, is maybe when they start turning the page a little bit and moving ahead and looking forward to Clemson. But right now, Georgia wants these practices that they have in the August heat when it's 95 degrees outside to be the hardest practices of the year. That way that they can get themselves better for what will be a more difficult schedule.
Good stuff. Connor Riley, appreciate you, man. As always, tell the people where they can find your stuff at.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We'll have a ton of fall camp stuff coming out for you guys this week.
Good stuff. Go appreciate
Dogs.
You, man.
Right on.
I'll say this. He said something very interesting there. We're going to come back and talk about it. Did Georgia have a Nick Saban problem, or do they have an Alabama problem? And if Kalen DeBoer beats Georgia this season, it's going to make a lot of Dog fans wonder. Let's get into this,
Beat them in Indianapolis, could never just beat them in Atlanta.
Yeah. We're going to
get into
it.
That was the problem with Bama.
All right, right. We'll talk about that and much more here live at Hooters. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell talking to Jerome, who showed up. Ironically, as Turtle said, he shows up right as we're about to talk about Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
It's interesting.
He's one of our usual suspects over here. We have like our whole little rat pack up here at the Hooters of all of Georgia. We'll be back next week, I believe. It's a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday broadcast, our residency. And we appreciate you. We also got a big show for you Cobbians, West Cobb folks over on Dallas Highway in Marietta.
This Wednesday
we're going to be up in Cobb at the Taco Mac. So if you're over that neck of the woods, come by and see us on a hope day.
So before we get to this Georgia stuff, you just said something we had not talked about, which I think is interesting, and it may affect the college football season, Mike.
Yeah, man. Michigan's Sharon Moore facing NCAA penalties related to Connor Stallions. This was the assistant coach who used disguises and not-so-subtle Venmo, paying for his expenses with the Venmo account that everybody in America could read, apparently.
Coach Harbaugh, love you, man.
Yeah. That, he's also the guy who stepped in for coach, and that was the soundbite when they played Penn State Happy Valley.
We did it.
Straight to the top. 52 deleted texts by Sharon Moore.
Oh.
58 games scouted. This is being reported now by multiple sources, including Sporting News.
Why is he deleting those texts?
There was no lone wolf nature to the Connor Stallions thing. It wasn't one dude doing this on his own. There was a system in place. And now they're saying they're going to kick Sharon Moore off of FBI as well, Carl.
Okay,
so
wait a minute. That's a big hit. No. That's the actor you're talking about.
That's
a different black guy.
Oh, that's Shamar Moore.
Yes, was he on Soul Train, too? I think he was on Soul Train.
Shamar Moore and early Tyler Perry projects. Shamar Moore, the other woman, tonight at the Atlanta Civic Center.
Yes.
She was the other woman. Yeah, but anyway, so this dude, if you're a Michigan fan, do you really care if Sharon Moore gets a show cause? Who cares?
Nope.
You know, Harbaugh got you the mountaintop.
Nope.
And it is what it is. I always thought the NCAA never had the nuggets, and they don't, to try to take away and strip a national title. I thought they might try to go after some scholarships, but now they're saying this was... Do you feel it matters to cheat? Well, when you do it at this level, it's kind of like the Spygate thing with the Patriots. They were doing this at an industrial level of spying by Michigan on their opponents.
All those texts deleted. I mean, I don't know to what degree he's guilty, but he's guilty to some level, right? And so, yeah, man, I'm with you. But I don't think they take the national championship away.
Pete Thamel's got the article on it that really gets in-depth. Dan Murphy from ESPN also has one. But just basically saying that there was a – it was an entire project. It wasn't just one guy. There's basically a bunch of coaches' concerted effort to get this information to try to be able to – like, it didn't help him until last year. And ironically, last year they had to stop doing it. So it didn't help him against Georgia. It didn't help him against some of those other elite competitions. It did help him beat Ohio State, though. That's one thing which I think Buckeyes fans might have a bee in their bonnet
over. Yeah, well, they'll get a chance for payback this year. I'll say this, though. That team was really good last year. Harbaugh, this was –
that defense was real.
It was the crescendo of 4 or 5 years of recruiting at its peak. I don't take anything away from him. All right, let's talk about
Georgia. Would love to have seen Georgia. Remember that all that talk about the Georgia portion of practice, and they play the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah, but
the physicality. Yeah, because we couldn't tackle Jalen Milroe.
So that gets us to this conversation, because Connor Riley just came on, and he said, does Georgia have an Alabama problem, or did they have a Nick Saban problem? And I think it's very interesting, guys, because everybody has just always assumed, well, it's a Saban problem. Saban is better than Kirby, right? 1-5, Mike, against Nick Saban, Kirby is.
Yeah. They have an Alabama and Atlanta problem.
So
SEC championship problem.
So last year, who ended Georgia's season? Alabama.
Correct.
So this is why people are saying this game against Alabama, which is in primetime, September 28th, it's going to be on ABC, 7:30 kickoff, is the biggest game. Yet, guys, Georgia goes on the road to play Texas. They got to go to Ole Miss. But the Alabama game, Mike, and the reason is if you show Kalen DeBoer, hey, we don't have an Alabama problem. We maybe had a Nick Saban problem, but we don't have an Alabama problem, and we can handle this. I think I agree with Connor Riley. He says, hey, it takes Georgia to the next level when you start talking about where these programs are. Georgia has to slay this Alabama dragon. Now that Nick Saban is gone, can they do that in the regular season?
Yeah, I know that Kalen DeBoer did a great job recruiting, closing the gap, and they had that extra period when Nick Saban surprisingly announced his retirement. He was basically able to keep some guys in-house. Yes, they lost some starters and some impact players to Auburn and other places, but he's still able to bring some guys in. He's also able to, I would think, take Jalen Milroe where he was, which is, I mean, a solid athletic quarterback. Can you turn him into a totally well-rounded quarterback
that
can run and throw, hit guys in stride? And again, you can't coach accuracy, Fran Tarkin said, but you can certainly try to improve it. So, to me, turn Jalen Milroe into the ultimate weapon, and then you will have a Georgia-Alabama problem in Tuscaloosa.
I hope so.
Because, again,
it's a statement game, though. It is.
It totally is. And for Alabama fans, you're right. Everything you just said, DeBoer saying, like, I belong in the SEC. I get this culture, and we understand how important this is. But you can also argue, and nobody's going to want to hear this from either team, if that's your one loss, it's not a bad one loss, and you're still in the playoff.
It isn't.
And you might rematch him in the SEC title.
And that's the way I think Kirby has approached it. Listen, has Kirby still won national championships despite not being able to slay this dragon? 1-5 is your record. Your record's the record. But right. as you move forward now with no Saban in the conference, that should shift. There has to be this, hey, Kirby is winning every time he gets a chance to play Alabama thing. Right. And if it's not, people are going to say, hey, this is the one team he has problems with. This is the one team he can't beat, regardless of who the coach is. And I think a lot of Georgia fans have had problems with that. Nobody's ever going to debate what Saban's legacy is.
Right.
Nobody's going to debate, hey, you know, he worked on his staff for 8 years. He's been better in his career. But I can't say that about Kalen DeBoer.
No. Well, DeBoer is a coach who's won everywhere he's been, but now he's got the keys to the Ferrari. I mean, now the expectations are through the roof. Nothing like this was ever anticipated in Washington, with all due respect to Andy's, you know, school. This is the big time, and this is the SEC, but this guy, I think he belongs.
He just called Washington small time. I heard what it is.
Well, the window of expectation is a little bit more finite.
He said y'all are smallish.
No, but like, but when Auburn brought Harsin in, right? That was you. That's a fish out of water. This is not that. This is DeBoer knows the South. I love people who made it sound like, well, he's gonna have to understand recruiting in the South. Okay, like I go to the biggest schools and get the best players because I'm freaking Alabama. I mean, yeah, give me a roadmap. I'll find the schools and I'll find the five stars. I always think that was kind of like an over, you know, simplification. Well, it's fine, Bob says that crap. But anyway, this is a team which has got a ton of players. They're right up there in recruiting every year. Just a matter of how. Now, again, what does he do different? Here's the thing, to your point, how does Kirby apply pressure on DeBoer? And will he crack where maybe Saban and his guys wouldn't?
So when Kirby got to Georgia, Alabama was just better than Georgia.
Correct.
They just were, okay?
Had a big head start and had the machine on the tracks.
And then you start to catch up in the recruiting ranks, right? And all of a sudden you start to see how this is paying off. And then you get to that 2018 matchup where Georgia should have won.
Right.
They blow it. And then you have the rematch, you know, a couple of years later. But the fact is, the one time that you beat Alabama, I just don't know if that is enough for Dog fans to say, all right, I feel like Kirby is superior when we play this team. And that's the only thing we're pointing out here, guys, is I don't know how that game plays. All I'm pointing out is when Connor Riley came on last segment, talked about this, I just feel like he's right. All the talk about going to Austin and all the talk about maybe Ole Miss being really good, you lose the Alabama game, it doesn't end your season, but it puts doubts in the minds of Georgia fans that say, okay, so what if we see these guys at the end of the year? What's going to happen? We can't beat these dudes.
Yeah, but I still think you're going to rematch and you're going to have a chance to see. Again, especially with the expanded playoff, there's a million ways that your paths can cross again. But I get it. There's a stigma. The royal we, Georgia in Atlanta, was an issue. Now, in Indianapolis, that was certainly, like, you know what Alabama fans are going to say? We lost our best wide receivers, and they'll be crying out forever.
Right.
And that was part of it. But Georgia, the game against Ohio State, that's one of the best football games I ever saw. We saw them destroy TCU. We saw them, you know, you have to remind you guys, you saw the beatdowns of Michigan.
The Ohio State game, to me, looking back, was the national championship.
Correct. Because the TCU thing, I mean, like, Michigan shouldn't have blown that game. It is what it is.
No.
But Kirby knows how to win these big games. The question for me is, you know, Jalen Milroe is kind of the boogeyman in that SEC championship. He's back. It's one thing if DeBoer had to go find himself a quarterback. He's got a quarterback who just knows how to beat Georgia and also chirped about it. Remember those comments, which are really underplayed because nobody in Georgia fans want to hear about it the week afterwards when he says, I looked across that sideline and I knew that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, Kirby's never going to take the bait on that publicly. You just tell me that's not the fodder for some of the guys behind the closed doors in the locker room in Athens.
It should be. 404-726-0929. And I'll say this, too, when it comes to Kirby and this new rivalry, because, again, it's not Nick Saban. Mike, he needs to be 5-1 against Kalen DeBoer. Like, he needs to own Alabama.
Right. The way he owns Florida.
Correct. And then it's a different conversation. And that's what we're talking about here. We'll see how it shakes out. 404-726-0929. Text us, guys. Hit us up on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow the radio station at 929 The Game.
And just one thing, our buddy, you know, Jerome is your big Alabama fan. Jerome don't know. You don't know what a Kalen DeBoer Alabama team looks like, so we ain't never seen one before.
No, we don't.
So you don't know. We got to wait to slow your roll,
bud. Well, he thinks it's going to be what Nick Saban rolled out there, and it may.
Well, Nick
but it may not.
Nick is still hanging around.
He's hanging around with Brian Denny. Well, just let him coach the team then.
No, he's doing TV.
I mean, do you still need Nick coaching the team? Is that why he's got an office at the stadium? I'm asking you.
It's continuity.
Huh? Is that why he's still got an office right there, Brian Denny? He just steps out the office and says, that's the wrong play we're running while he's watching the film? What I thought.
Now you winded him up. Now he's going to be screaming at the bar for the next 2 hours, man.
What do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, guys, listen up. An incredibly hot, sexy Paraguayan swimmer who's got unbelievable tan lines and curves that will blow your mind, has been kicked out of the Olympic Village because she's a dirty girl.
Uh-oh.
Well, we don't know that, but let's hope so. That's going to be the story. Also, did Athlon do a hit piece on Deion Sanders in Colorado football?
Ooh.
Some are saying that it's a lot of disgruntled former players. And unfortunately for Deion, he's got a lot of disgruntled former players. It's all coming up next.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta. Yeah, buddy, on a Monday up here at our residency at the Hooters Mall of Georgia, the Taj Mahal Hooters. A lot of folks chowing down, drinking some brew. We got some of our usual suspects. Some of our old friends are rolling in today on a Monday. Appreciate you guys coming down. Ice cold Hey Man Ale. Drink some, filled with minerals and vitamins. Well, not necessarily. Hey, here's a story I think we can all sink our teeth into, Carl. Glamorous swimming star from South America booted out of the Olympic Village for sneaking out to visit Disneyland? That sounds pretty innocent, right?
Yeah, it does.
What else was she doing? She won't be permitted to stay in the Athletes Village until the end of the games. According to local media reports, this woman named Luana Alonso. Take some time if you're on your computer right now and Google Luana Alonso. I've got the link up at Mike Bell ATL. I was showing Carl because she is an aspiring swimmer and model.
She is a model.
Yes.
Well, at least from the pictures that are out there.
Well, I tell you what, she modeled for the Olympics in her bathing suit, and she had like this tan line that can best be described as requiring, I guess, quite a Brazilian, although she is from Paraguay, because it's a tan line that is basically horizontal across her midriff. It's quite something. She also has an Olympic tattoo, but I digress. According to local media reports, she spent a night out in Paris and went to Disneyland rather than staying to support her teammates. Furious team bosses have ordered her to fly home as punishment, a statement from the Paraguayan Olympic Committee says her presence has created an inappropriate atmosphere within Team Paraguay.
Mm.
Is that okay? I'm kind of going like the Sosa thing.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
We thank her for proceeding as instructed, as it was her own free will that she did not spend the night in the Athletes Village. This girl is a smoke show. She went off to see Disney World. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that.
Look at those six-pack abs. Alonso is 20. She has not yet to address her
departure.
That's
not what you're looking at.
No, I'm looking at everything. It's a total package. It's all good.
You're like, look at her abs. Stop
it. After the race, she told her 310,000 Instagram followers, "It's official now. I'm retiring from swimming. Thank you all so much for your support. Sorry, Paraguay. I only have to thank you." So, I don't know if she sounds like that. I'm just hoping she does.
So she's done? She's done?
She's done. She felt the Olympics was the perfect time to call it a day. She's only 20. "I've been swimming for so long, and I have so many feelings.
20?
Unfortunately, I made the decision to stop, and I'm happy that my last race will be at the Olympic Games." She competed at Tokyo at the age of 17.
Okay.
"People, my decision was made a long time ago. It wasn't because of the Games." So, I'm sorry. I morphed into like Speedy Gonzalez.
You really did.
Slowpoke
right
Rodriguez. Yeah. "Reflecting on her failure to make it out of her heat, it didn't happen the way I wanted to, but who cares, man?" She's like a cross between like a Claudia Schiffer thing and a million good things all rolled up into one.
You know what? I hadn't heard that name in a while. Claudia Schiffer. That's a good pull.
Yeah, man. So I don't know what she did. That she said they said she was being a disruptive force in that Olympic Village. Come on.
What do you think she was doing?
Well, they said now all the Olympians are saying the rooms are basically the worst. I mean, it's literally, a Motel 6 looks better. They've got like these boxy beds that are too small to get two people in at one time. And no, granted, Scottie Scheffler and the NBA Dream Team are not staying in the Olympic Village. They're staying at the Hotel Le Maurice or the Ritz-Carlton. In order, a private villa somewhere outside.
Correct.
But, but for the athletes, you know, because the Rio Games, there was all these stories of just, like, sex and not drugs, but just shenanigans and just a bacchanal of this, the best, hottest people in the world getting it on. And you'd think France, you know, Paris, the atmosphere of love would be in the air, but they kind of tried to squash it by the very Spartan accommodations for the athletes' rooms.
Yeah, I did see somebody posted on social media, one of the athletes, about, you know, if you think we're living it up over here. Right. And they posted a picture, and to Mike's point, it was like a desk. A TV and a bed.
And the bed is like repurposed like cardboard. I mean, it's like it's all recycled materials, and it looks like an IKEA from hell.
Yes.
Is what the room looks like. Hey, on to another story now. How about this? Good news, bad news. You lose your pole vaulting event, but all of the world sees you got a giant pole.
Yes.
Talking about the French star Anthony Ammirati. If you didn't see it, the French pole vaulter spoke for the first time after, what was it, I guess some felt embarrassing, others thought it was fascinating, attempt on a pole vault. And as he's going over the bar, he's got a big for kids in the cart. Johnson, and it kind of literally, he got hung on the bar with his private parts.
Yeah, my wife said to me yesterday, I got to show you this. And I said, what is it? And she said, "You won't believe this bulge." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And literally she showed me, and we both started dying laughing because I can't explain to you how you're going to watch this and see right. exactly what Mike's talking about. So we laughed all night about it, Mike. It was funny only because you're like, man, this dude just cleared. No, he didn't.
Yeah. It's good-looking French dude. So a lot of folks are saying, you know, social media, a million memes and thoughts about this. Well, and now the entire world knows that you're quite endowed. If you didn't see the they got slow mo of this, it looks like he's literally got a Johnsonville brat stuck in his shorts as this guy's going over the bar. So a lot of folks are reacting to it. He says it was 100% physically, but I was missing a bit of the pole vault. The conditions were good. First time I've started the competition without any stress, as I was total outsider. I only had one goal: to interact with the audience. I was almost there.
Oh, you interacted with the audience. Trust me. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Trust me, women around the world were like, he lost, but he won.
Yeah. The instance, they're saying around the world, they said, we don't have the French TV feed, but they said it was hysterical because when they show the super slow-mo, the announcers literally they were aghast. They didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say. I just, again, you got to see it for yourself. It's out there on social media, but
right.
I do feel bad for the guy, Mike, because technically he did clear it.
Well, I don't feel bad for any of that guy because, man, is he blessed. Anyway, moving on. Here's a story, and I was telling Carl and Chris during the commercial break. I read this morning. There's a story from Athlon Sports, not really known for breaking those kind of sports. So they are doing more sports journalism. But this one basically says that the Colorado football program, under Deion Sanders, quote, it's like a real-life Grand Theft Auto video game. An anonymous form again, here we go, the anonymous former player telling Athlon, many distractions with fights, guns, and money floating around. The environment is unlike anything I've come from. They're talking about last year, 2023. Comment echoed sentiments expressed by a former five-star cornerback named Cormani McClain, although McClain has also had some similar issues with his new team, so he might just be a malcontent everywhere he goes. Cormani was taking a lot of heat from everyone, a former anonymous player said of Colorado. At the same time, Coach Prime was saying he was in the doghouse and needed to improve, he was getting bullied by Shiloh Sanders. After the Oregon State game, Shiloh slapped him several times in front of other teammates in the locker room, which left Cormani screaming, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you." After that, you could tell he wasn't mentally there. It's hard when the coaches you trust are calling you derogatory names on the practice field. But McClain wasn't alone. Jordan Seaton, another five-star recruit, allegedly faced similar bullying charges, was picked to fight former CU lineman Savion Washington in order, quote, to prove his manhood, according to the Athlon report. So it's kind of old school, but the old school ain't the way you do things anymore in college football, Carl.
Well, listen, first of all, these are all
allegations. These are guys who all got cut. They got kicked off the team, so but consider the source.
But I will say this, and this is speaking from experience. Any good team has an element
right.
that there are other guys on the team who challenge you. And that may mean some of the stuff that he's talking about, but a lot of this stuff doesn't get out. And, yeah, I'm talking about Alabama. I'm talking about Georgia. Every good team, okay, has an element of guys on that team that will challenge other guys. And if it comes to fisticuffs, Mike, I've seen it. It happens.
Right.
But I don't know if the coach is leading the charge with that. Sometimes that's just players being players.
Right.
You get the sense when you read this, like Deion was, you know, the ringleader, and he was aware, and he was like, oh, we got to make sure these guys fight. I don't think that's what Deion was doing.
It's almost like a cross between the old coach of Arizona State, Frank Cush, and the Lords of Discipline at the Citadel.
Yes.
It's like they're really going over the top with this. But, again, it's an article that's trying to generate some clicks. Guys, I will say this about Deion. There's a lot of folks that want to see him fail. And I think there's agendas there. You'd be like, if you have an agenda, just say you have an agenda. If you don't like Deion, there's just so many folks out there circling about just they can't wait to write this piece when Colorado blows up.
Yeah.
That's why I do hope that he gains some traction. But, man, Carl, there's a lot of pressure. Pressure on his son, no offensive line, not sure how they addressed it in the offseason. But, look,
sure.
When they beat TCU, that was a hell of a win. You can't diminish that. But, unfortunately, they didn't build on it, and then all the other things started to crop up, and the big holes on that roster came to come forefront.
He took over the worst program in college football. And the expectation last year was what? If they could get four wins, maybe six, it'd be a great season. I feel the same way, Mike. I mean, I know they're going to the new Big 12, but I'm not expecting them to be a college football playoff team.
Right.
Shador is going to be an NFLer. He's going to be in the pros. He may be the top three or four quarterback. But at the end of the day, from a team perspective, he's got to get time to build that if he's going to be there. And people already say, Mike, after his sons leave, he may not even be there. Yeah. Like, if something else pops up, because we know he has generated so much attention. Colorado, by the way, has sold out their season tickets again for the first time in like 30 years. So that's all Deion. That's not a team that won three games last year.
But you read the articles. Like, there was one. Well, they had a small turnout. Yeah, it freaking snowed on the day they had their Colorado Golden Black game.
Spring game.
You know, it just you got to consider this. Look, full disclosure, I'm a Deion fan. I think there's many ways a coach can win in college football. It doesn't have to be in the cookie-cutter mold some other guys would have you believe. But the pressure's on. He's got to win. Anyway, there's your guy talk. Brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, ale. It's on draft right here at Hooters. Ask for it at your favorite bar, man. Georgia Crown will get it from a Coney. He'll get it right to your local bar.
What did we see at practice today as our guys head down to Miami? The MIA. The 305.
305.
What did we see? We're going to tell you about it next on Sports County. Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.